This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to The Mentor. I'm Mark Burris. Our guests this week are Simon Marie and Tim McGann from Hustle Boxing, a new premium boxing studio that's currently based in Sydney's Potts Point. They've only been open 6 or 7 weeks, I think. A while ago, these guys sat across from me to pitch their business idea, and they did it so well that I ended up investing in it along with one of my sons. I want to talk to Simon and Tim about the best way to pitch when raising capital for a new venture. That's really important. What is it you're pitching? What's your idea? Why is your idea different? Why did they decide that Sydney could handle another fitness studio in an already fairly saturated market? And how they're telling their premium brand story through things like social media or just general organic growth without making it too exclusive or too inaccessible to potential clients. Or is that their deal? Is their deal to democratize boxing for all those people who want to go and try it? So let's get into it. Simon, Tim, welcome to The Mentor, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
I got to declare my position early on. My son and I are shareholders in this business. But, you know, that's not the reason they're here. I reckon it's worthwhile listening to them because they've got a good story. And I've known one of them, Timmy, since he's a little boy. So he's a man now, but he was a little kid, real young. So what's the name of the business, boys? Tell everybody.
I'll let Simon answer this one. So we're Hustle Boxing is the name of the business. We're a high-intensity interval training studio. Using boxing and functional training.
Right. So, I mean, we're talking about a rising tide, you know, in this country at least. Fitness is a big deal. Everybody in Australia is really fit hungry, and we'll get into the business model in a minute. I guess what I want to find out about from you two guys is why the fuck are you doing this? I mean, what did you do before this, Simon? Tell me the story.
Yeah, good question. I think, yeah, definitely one that's worth going into. I was with Ardent Leisure for about 10 or 11 years. Ardent are a business that owned at the time AMF Bowling, Dream World up on the Gold Coast, Main Event in the States, Good Life Health Clubs, and I was in the Marina Division. So I worked in various roles within that division and ended up basically looking after super yacht clients in Australia.
Because they bought the CYC, didn't they?
Or no, they didn't. No. Dalborra.
They bought Dalborra. Yeah, not yeah, the Dalborra group, not yeah. But Dalborra,
next door.
Yeah. I remember many, many years ago doing a big sort of big sweep up. They bought a whole lot of marinas
they
around
did.
The place.
Yeah, they yeah. did.
That's
ended up when I was there with seven marinas around Australia.
That's Ardent.
That was okay. Ardent. Not right. anymore, but not it was anymore, Ardent no. at the time.
And what was your role there?
So I was ended up in a BD role.
Yeah.
And
what's that mean?
So I was looking after all of the sales in the business. So I'd had all the managers report to me and my task was to keep them sort of thinking about sales whilst they also had operational responsibilities as well.
So you got a BD, business development, that's another word for running sales, making sure that the business sells whatever it is that their product and or the service is.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll move on to Tim. Tim, mate, I remember you were a carpenter or a chippy or something, were you?
Yeah, I was, mate.
Working for your dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, mate, the old man was a builder. So I grew up, obviously, around tools. And it was just something that I guess I was just naturally, I was quite gifted at. So it was something that I guess when I got to a point when I was playing footy and I started playing professional when I was 18. I got signed down at the Brumbies, and before that time, I'd just started my apprenticeship out of school with one of my old man's mates who was a builder, and that's where my building career sort of started, but then continued. But unfortunately, it slowed up because of footy, which is fine. But I kept doing my courses. I finished my builder's license during my footy career. And at the end of that, then I went into building and developing properties.
I seem to recall you playing for West Tigers at one stage there. You didn't always, weren't always a rugby union bloke.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. I had, a year and a half, I guess you could call it, at the Tigers. Tim Sheens actually got me across from, I was playing with New South Wales at the time. He came and watched the game when Scotland came out to play. And I didn't know he was there, obviously. And the manager I had at the time got called upon from Tim, and I went and had a meeting with him. And I probably didn't really think about league too much. I'd never played a game of league in my life, but I'd always grown up watching the Roosters and obviously had mates that had played. So I had 1 year there, and it was the year we actually won the grand final. Unfortunately, I wasn't on the field, but I had a really good experience there, and I probably kicked myself a little bit that I didn't stay there longer. New South Wales sort of brought me back in the second year of my contract, but I felt like I probably could have given it more of a go. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, you take turns in your life and in your careers in different directions, and for whatever reason at that time in my life, I thought it was the best decision for me, but probably looking back now, you know, I probably would have liked
to. Wish you hadn't given it a bigger crack.
Yeah, mate, absolutely.
We could be thinking about Tim McGann retiring from rugby league instead of Robbie Farah.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. But it's funny how things turn out.
Unlikely.
Yeah. Well, mate, it's funny how things turn out, because it probably where I am now in my life in regards to business, I would never be where I am now.
If you had to keep playing footy.
Absolutely, yeah. And I had a lot of different
injuries. You'd be a lot richer, though.
Mate, potentially. Well, I've got lots of money now, Mark.
I love it. So, a long way from the Wallaroos, mate, down there at East. So, on my left, we've got Simon, who's got experience in not only selling and making sure sales happen, but also got experience in that world where you've got to deal with people, usually with money.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And we've got Tim over here, who's a ex-Waverley boy.
Both ex-Waverley here, mate.
Oh, both Waverley boys, both okay. Waverley, so you knew each other at school?
Yeah, we've been mates since we were 10 years old.
Okay, so you grew up together. We've got Tim over here, who's been a sports person, but is also, so he understands sport, because, you know, we're talking about gyms here today, and that's clearly associated with sports and fitness and health, et cetera, but it was also pretty handy on the tools. In other words, he knows how to do a construction. He can go and fill a joint out. Like, he can go and construct a place, which is, you know, you guys have got to construct your businesses. Tim, I remember that you had some experience in an F-45 or something like that down in Rose Bay.
So, mate, we were involved. We had an Anytime Fitness down
Anytime
in Rose
Fitness,
Bay.
Okay, yes. Not F-45, right.
Yeah, so we built that from scratch.
So just to explain about Anytime Fitness, because not everyone here knows what Anytime Fitness, that's a 24-hour deal?
Correct. So it's a franchise. So Simon and I bought into that.
Are you both in that, were you?
Yeah, we were. Right. And another partner of ours, actually, who went to school with us, was, I guess, a little bit more on the sidelines with it, but Nick Reed. And, mate, basically, we started that one from scratch. It used to be a Blockbuster store.
I remember that.
We went in there and did a bit of wheeling and dealing and took it over. And, mate, it was a great little business.
Which meant you got a good lease, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Absolutely. It was a great little business, but it was a side hustle for us. Simon was off doing his stuff in the marina game. I had some other little businesses on the side that I was also working on, and also Resi Development. So it was something that we couldn't put our heart and soul into, as you could probably call it, but it was a great little business. It is a franchise, and we felt limited in that franchise.
But you got experience in running a gym.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a very successful business. We've now sold that on for that reason, because we wanted to start Hustle.
Yeah, but I think that the name of the game here is that, for the people who are listening, because everyone's going, oh, wow, I'd like to be able to set up. I've got a great idea for setting up a gym franchise, or, you know, it's not quite that easy. I mean, you've got to know how to run these things. You've got to know how to get people in the door. You've got to know how to set it up. You've got to know how to renovate it and build it and or construct it. And then you've got to know how to run the bloody thing. And you've got to know what other people's models are. So the Anytime Fitness model is a pretty good model. I don't know, they were, how many, a thousand, how many, couple of thousand?
There's over 500 in Australia for any
500 franchise, there you go.
And
it's
same
a new wave, it's a new model. It's one of those models where they, you know, it's a 24-hour thing, what is it, card operated or something? You get in there by a card or a code or something?
You've got a fob which allows you access to not only the gym that you're a member at, but it allows you access to any of the gyms around Australia and also the world.
So you've experienced, you know, as an owner, the new wave of the new types of gyms, which means that you're in the industry. So when you own this thing, you call it a side hustle, I'm sure you were examining all the time what other proposals there are, what other types of gyms are there? I mean, you're the sort of guy sort of saying...
Were. I mean, I think probably a key catalyst for the thing that got us into what we're doing now was that we looked at, you know, some of the industry events, we looked at trade shows and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, we did, absolutely. We, you know, when Tim says that we didn't put a lot of time in or it was sort of a side hustle, you know, we did in the end. I think we put as much as we
probably
could.
Probably referring more to how much time we've put into hustle.
Yeah, relative to hustle. You know, there was...
I mean, what would you do? Your owners of the Anytime Fitness, would one of you say, oh, there's a convention coming on up at wherever it is, Gold Coast, for example. Let's go and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd go up to that. We'd go to all the trade shows. We'd go to the internal conferences for any time. And I think that's a fantastic business. But for us, we got a bit of a taste for the industry and we looked at it a little bit deeper and we thought there were some opportunities.
That's what I know. Simon, at what point did you say to yourselves, I reckon there's more opportunity in this?
To be honest, probably with how much money we were making.
Yeah.
In it, for relative to the amount of work that we had to put in.
Yeah.
That was probably the catalyst, but it's also healthy.
Explain that.
So we were off doing our full time gigs. You know, I was with Arden earning X, and Tim was doing his building and developing and
taking risks.
Taking risks, but putting in, you know, 95% of your time. And we had another business in the franchise gym business where, you know, we were probably putting 5% of our time, but earning, you know, 30 or 40% of our income. So that was probably the catalyst for us to say, let's have a closer look at this industry. So we did that. And the process was that we looked at other models or other franchises that were available within Australia. We looked within the Collective Wellness Network as well.
How did that happen?
Tim and I just got together over
a
beer.
I think
the moment I remember was, he would have been having a smoothie because he doesn't drink coffee, but I was having a coffee. He was having a smoothie on the balcony down at Rose Bay, and we looked at each other and said, let's have a better look at this. And so we started, and it, you know, over probably the next 6 months, we looked at opportunities within the existing models in Australia. We looked at, you know, other businesses within Collective Wellness, which is the parent company for Anytime. We looked at F45. We looked at 12 Round.
I think you just, let's get another franchise.
We were thinking that at the time. We were thinking that was an opportunity. It wasn't a very exciting one. For us, you know, we want to put our heart and soul into a business, and owning 10 franchises that can make you know, a mil and a half a year in your earnings. But for me, that, and both of us, it wasn't exciting. You know, it wasn't something that was going to get us racing out of bed in the morning. So we preferred...
that's a hard market. I
think you've got to... Well, hey, if you can make the same money doing something you love, then happy days,
I think.
So we wanted to look at something that was a bit more exciting. So we exhausted sort of the options within Australia, and we just realised there was nothing that excited us here. So we, in May last year, we jumped on a flight because we'd heard some things about businesses in the States, and I know you've had some other guests on here that have done similar things. We jumped on a plane. We got a mate that lives in New York, and he said, come and check out a couple of the places over here. So we did a week in LA and a week in New York. And
Mark knows that, mate.
Yeah. And trained and drank our way through the States. But we trained.
Not a bad research.
Yeah,
trip.
Look, we went pretty hard. We trained a couple of times a day at least, and checked out everything over there. And I've always really liked the American sort of service model.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes it goes over the top and it wouldn't work in Australia, but I do like that they're so attentive and they kind of work for their money and they're really respectful. I think we get it wrong in a lot of instances in Australia in the way that we deliver our service. So we looked at a few things over there, Shadow Box, and we looked at, you know, non-boxing things. We looked at SoulCycle, we looked at Barry's, we looked at Rumble. We looked at Prevail in LA. We looked at a heap of things and we took little bits of inspiration from everything and still didn't have a really clear path of exactly what we wanted to do. We were thinking, do we look at bringing one of those brands back to Australia? But we got back to the hotel room one night and had a good yarn about it and just said, nah, fuck it, let's do it ourselves. Let's create something that's going to work for Australia.
A lot of people, Simon and Tim, are listening to this, right? They've got these ideas about whatever they think they can do, and they've got some experience or working in an industry. It could be in the beauty industry. It doesn't really matter. And we've had all sorts of people on this show, like Alison Egan, who, you know, she's got Sparkling White Smiles. Is that what it's called? Yeah, and obviously she had some experience and she decided to do it. And the difference between people who think about it and people who do it, it's only fine. It's not much of a difference, but it makes a big difference when the person does it. And for all those people sitting out there thinking, thinking about it and don't ever fucking do anything about it, what I'm trying to work out here between you two guys is, what was it that made you get off your asses and actually go to America, to decide to go and have a look at this in New York and go and hang out with Rob's kid?
Morgan Sieg.
Yeah.
That's an effort in itself.
He adds a bar called Uncle Chop Chop over there as well, which is quite handy.
No, but I mean, what's the thing that makes two young blokes, how old were you at the time, 30, 35? You know, were you 40 35, now? You must be getting close to 48, Tim, 38?
37,
38,
mate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Are you the same age?
I'm 38, yeah. Okay. Look a bit better than Tim.
So this is what, 3 years ago?
No, we're going back just 2 years ago.
Okay, so two years ago, 35. Yep. You both got jobs, you both got businesses, you're making good income. You've already, at that stage, you already sold your franchise?
No.
No, you still had it. So that was going okay, it was making good money for you. You said, okay, well, let's go. Was it just, I'm curious, let's go and have a look, or I'm going to fucking do something? What was it?
No, I think there's probably a little bit more to that story. I think Simon actually rang me one day as well and said, mate, I want to come over and chat to you, mate. I really want to look at making a mark on this industry. And we would both had those conversations previous, like he'd already suggested. We sort of sat at my place, or was it Clovelly there, one afternoon, I think, and we started chatting about it. And I think the big indicator for us was I'd always worked for myself, and I have pretty much since I stopped playing footy. Simon's worked in a corporate role, and I think it really appealed to him as well that we could start something together as great mates as we are and build a bit more of a legacy behind something. It wasn't that we were certainly not ever ashamed or whatever you might sort of how you interpret how we thought our business was at Rose Bay at any time. We were very much proud of it, and we still are, and we handed it off to the right person. I think it was about creating something that we created. And when we thought about going to the States, it was, well, we needed to go somewhere which had the best models, not the second best or the third best, the best models. We knew as a competitive industry that if we didn't hit the mark, we were going to fail. And we're not those type of people. We both certainly strive for excellence, and we wanted to build that legacy. And I think the idea of going to the States was we saw people over here, and without being rude, there are people here who have multiple franchises in different brands who do very well, but they're not extremely good at business.
But they're just investors.
They've probably hit things at the right time, and good luck to them. They've just timed things right at the right time. They've bought into certain territories, at the right time. And I think that was the big catalyst for us, that we felt like we have the expertise to make a real go of this. We just have to find the right brand. We have to have the right strategy behind it. And then the next thing was getting the right people behind us on it.
But I think a big point, maybe the thing you're looking for, Tim and I have always backed ourselves in whatever we do.
Oh, yeah, but what's the difference? Yeah, but a lot of people back themselves. But why did you decide to do this? I mean, like, I don't know. Was there a moment you think, fuck, I'm trying to work out whether this is a curiosity tour. Let's go and see what else. Or is this, mate, we're going to do this.
No, at that stage,
we're going to do our research in America, and we're going to come back with something.
Yeah, look, the Barneys that we had to have with our wives to get that trip meant that we were committed. I mean,
you're going to hang out with Rob Sieg. That's what they thought you were going to do.
Meant that we were committed to it. And when we did that trip, that trip cost us 30 grand or something or other. We were committed. You know, this was serious. We were ready to go. We knew we wanted to do this. We knew the opportunity, and we think there's a huge opportunity in the Australian market. Even though it's extremely saturated, for the right business, we think there's a massive opportunity in the Australian market.
Did you get inspired by the F-45s of the world? Did you sort of say, well, we can do that? I mean, how much what was money a factor in this? And did you just sort of say, we can make a shitload out of this?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Like, I mean, money's always going to drive people. And I wouldn't say we're completely focused on the money. I think we also looked at the lifestyle opportunity here of certainly for both of us is getting extremely fit again and being part of a really, you know, enjoying wanting to go to work and be part of sessions and working with really good people. And everyone to date that we've tried to bring on board was all about bringing people on for this journey and also the fact that where this journey can take us, we want the right people coming with us. We're not after flaky people that are going to come in and out of our business. Where we grew and I guess how we got to even where we are now is absolutely strategic about who we bring on board. Nothing we've done so far is not well thought out, I should say. And to even now, like the likes of yourself that we've talked to and other investors that we've got on board, it's all been very much, we've sat down, we've really thought about where we want to go and not just about where we want to be next year or the year after, but where we want to be in 5 to 10 years.
Good morning, Matt. How are you going?
I'm well, thanks, Mark.
What have we got this week for sale? What business are you going to put up there on the stage for this week for sale?
Mark, I've got one in Victoria this week. It's a very interesting business. It's a fitness centre. It's over 750 active members. The owner's taking around $300,000 a year. He's established 7 years and he's looking for a sea change.
Okay, and would you need to be like a fit person to own one of these? Or, I mean, what's the deal? Who are the buyers of these types of things? Or is it investor or is this individual going to stay on? How does it work?
Look, this one can be either. I think there's each business that's, you know, its own merits, but this particular one is run by the owner currently and they're taking around $300,000. You could easily use one of the managers already in place and drop that back to $200,000.
Right,
and put it under full management.
And what sort of money are we talking about here?
Around the $800,000. And the best thing about this one, the owner also owns the building. So you've got the flexibility of maybe even acquiring the building now or at a later stage.
Right, so I presume at least the owner's, one thing for sure is the owner's going to give whoever the buyer is a really good lease. And, you know, and if you're buying a business, make sure your lease, and you're paying good money for it, make sure you've got a lease that actually reflects the fact that you're paying good money. In other words, you want a good long lease, a good quality lease for these businesses when you buy them. Don't go and buy a business with one year left on a lease, because especially if you're in the sort of this sort of game like fitness or some sort of retail industry. All right, Matt, thanks very much, mate. Now, if you want to buy a business or you want to sell a business, you can go and contact Matt Holland, and he is at
allsales.biz.
Thanks, Matt. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mark.
You've gone to America. You've come back. You've seen what everybody else's model is. You've sat down and you've decided upon a product and a name. How did you work out what the product was? Out of all the shit you looked at.
Yeah, definitely. So the big hook for us, pardon the pun, was boxing.
Why?
Because we feel that boxing's something that's always going to have relevance. It's a sport, as you well know, has been around for a long time. There's a lot of passionate people in the game. But in our opinion, no one's ever brought it mainstream. So no one's ever made it comfortable enough for, as an example, a corporate girl to walk into a studio and not feel sort of a bit intimidated by the big fella with the tattoos and the scary looking girl in the corner. We wanted to make it premium and we wanted to make it mainstream. That was the big catalyst for
what is
for
you
what
took
we've
out
done.
Of a typical, what did you take out of a typical boxing gym? What did you extract or subtract from a typical boxing gym that made people feel intimidated or made the mainstream Aussie boy or girl not want to go there?
Yeah. So smell is a big one.
Yeah.
You know, you walk into a boxing gym and some people,
I love the smell of the PCY.
I was about to say, some people love it, I'm sure. You know, it brings you in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
But for other people, that doesn't work.
Yeah, got that. Yeah.
Things that we added, you know, beautiful fit outs, amazing customer service. Like that's
clean
huge
bathroom.
For us. Our bathrooms are inspired off day spas. So the feedback we're getting when a guy or a girl goes in there and gets to use Dyson hair dryers and curlers and, you know, we went down to the level of making sure the water pressure was right in the showers, fresh towels for everyone, bathroom products. It's like going into a, you know, a beautiful airport lounge or a Middle Eastern hotel bathroom. It's beautiful and it's comfortable so that anyone that comes and trains with us, train, get sweaty, have a shower, go downstairs, jump on the train, and they're at work in 20 minutes. And that's really important. We wanted to make it so that someone walks in there and they say, they map out their training session. They say, right, I can do this. I can easily stay here. I don't have to go home because I'm worried about getting tinea on my toes from the grubby bathroom and all that sort of stuff. It's beautiful.
And then that's the sort of the aftercare bit. I mean, I get that because probably some people would prefer to be in your bathroom than in their own bathroom. What about the product is in, that's part of the product, but what about the actual main part of the product? In other words, the workout,
the studio. So it's one of the things that we wanted to nail was that it's very comfortable, so that anyone that walks in, whether you're a pro fighter or you're an absolute beginner, you've never put a pair of gloves on, you can get a great workout and you don't feel out of place.
So, how does it work though?
So the way that works is we bring the lights down. So the actual space, the studio space, is, I guess it, you'd say it's modelled on a nightclub. So we've got LED lighting in there. We've got great, you know, can lights that we can lower. We've got 65-inch screens in there that show you the workout. And it's effectively, it's almost like a party space, and it's an experience. So you walk, everyone that walks in there for the first time, their jaw drops. It's just amazing. It looks beautiful. You've got 25 water bags hanging from the ceiling on one side of the room, and you've got 25 functional stations on the other side of the room where you're doing your strength-based training. So the class, we've got sort of six different classes and different round timings and all that sort of stuff. But effectively, you spend half your time on the aqua bags and half your time on the functional floor. And, I mean, the workout, we quickly realised, Tim and I, like, we've got sporting and backgrounds and we trained, but we're not experts in the field. You know, we don't claim to be. So from early on, we knew we had to bring on the best people to help us with the training and the programming. So we brought on three people. One is a guy named Dan Conn, who I think you're familiar with, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Dan was previously with F45, previously a Sydney Roosters player.
Yep.
Champion guy, really, really an expert in his field, and he's helped us with the programming. Another fella, Andrew Papp, who's an absolute freak in fitness. He's just come back from a 270k run through the European Alps. And then Dan's partner, Elise Wicello, who's a gun boxer, good marketer as well. So they're all integral to the programming, but they're also integral to the promotion of the business. So the actual workout is phenomenal.
Because so I just want to make sure it's not all show, all nah, show, no
not
go.
At all, not
that's
at all.
That's
mate.
An old saying so, that we used to use. But so you tell me, I mean, at the end of the day, it can be fucking beautiful bathrooms, it can be all nice lights, and, you know, everything looks cool, everyone's beautiful. But you tell me now, why is my workout there going to be, if not necessarily me, but say somebody who's likes to box, or likes to train with a boxing in a boxing
room. Still waiting for you to come, by the way.
No, I know. I'll be there sooner or later. But I definitely will come. Don't worry about that. But I want to see what my money bought me. But no, I'm just joking. But what I want to know is what the program itself, the product itself, because, you know, the beauty of it, the aesthetics will only last so long. People got to say, shit, I'm actually getting a good sweat up.
Yeah.
How do you work that through?
Yeah, I mean, the evolution of this brand keeps growing every day. And right now, I think it's hugely exciting for both Simon and myself. And Simon touched on Dan, Andrew, and Elise, and they're not just people who are promoting our business. They're absolutely, we call them partners in our business, and they are exactly that. They're there for the journey. And for right now, where we're the evolution of this brand, as I just alluded to, is growing every day, and it grows every day because opportunities keep arising, ideas keep coming to us. Where we're going with this brand now is not just about another studio or another, like you just suggested. Why are we any better? Why we're going to be better is the evolution of this brand. We're not sitting still and relying on IE and F45, what they did, or trying to emulate that, or even the things that we saw in the States and the different models we saw in the States. We've taken bits and pieces from that and created our own brand. And an example of that is there's brands in the state that use, one's a big one, which is Rumble, and they use a 10 rounds of 3-minute rounds. And for us, we felt like that could get a little bit boring throughout doing that every day. Now, we wanted this training to be something that people could go and do, if they wanted to do it 2, 3, 4 times a week, this could be their training. They didn't have to technically go and do other training. And the ability to give someone that experience meant that you had to change the training up. So every day is different. Now, when you go into a Monday session, you're going to do 8 rounds and you're going to do 4-minute rounds. And it's a lot more speed-based. Now, then you're going to go into a Wednesday and you're going to do 14 rounds and you're going to do 2-minute rounds. Then you go to Thursday and you're going to do 10 rounds with 3-minute rounds. Then you go to a Friday is going to be different. Saturday is our Godfather, which is 16 rounds, doing 2-minute rounds. So
it's an hour.
The evolution of this brand just keeps growing. The idea of us using our strength-based work, which is using Y-bells, which is a new concept that's come out to Australia, which was created by a guy through Bondi named Aaron. Then there's some, we're using band work, which is a fantastic eccentric and eccentric exercises that is amazing in regards to strength and also rehabilitation work. So the ability of where this brand can grow can progress because of the fact that our strength-based training has no roof on it. You know, boxing will always have its limitations in regards to you're hitting this aqua bag, which is amazing for your wrists, but the aqua bags are out here. You know, there's plenty of gyms that are using aqua bags. The ability that we have and why I believe we're different is because of our strength base and our functional training. And that's why we got the likes of Dan and Andrew Papp, who are absolute masters in Australia in that craft, of how that can evolve. And the ability of that to evolve is where our training will never get tiresome, it'll never get boring, and people will always see results as we keep improving.
So, okay. So, I mean, I think just give, like, for example, today's Wednesday. We record on Wednesday for Friday. So what will I get if I went on a Wednesday morning? Like you talk about strength. So, like, I mean, I guess you're hitting the bag in the session?
Absolutely. So you'll always do the exact amount, the same time you'll do on the bag, the same time you'll do on the floor. So you might start on the bag and you might do, for instance, you'll do 4 rounds of 2-minute rounds. Then you'll swap and you'll go on the floor and do 4 2-minute rounds. Then you go back on the bag and you do another 3 2-minute rounds, and then you'll go back on the floor and finish with 3 2-minute rounds. So you'll always do the same time on the floor as you will on the bags. On the bags, you're going to be doing 2 different exercises throughout that time. You'll see them on the screen. So the technology that we've created around the actual viewing for the customer. So we wanted to create a journey that, especially for someone who's never boxed before, they're going to get lost. And having wording up there or numbers is really hard for someone who's never boxed and they're not going to understand it. Mm. So the idea of having, we shot it in 4K, we've got these massive 65-inch Samsung TVs that someone can sit there and go, right, great. My indicator is I've got this trainer who's sitting there showing me what to do. That's my indicator. And they're getting around and being able to help me. Then I've got this indicator that I can see this TV and it's actually showing me exactly what to do. There's Dan and Elise up there on that's been shot in high definition, hitting that bag, doing a 1-2 or whatever it might be, or a hook. And then on the functional, it's the same, right? They're grabbing the wire bell, they're lifting it above their head, they're doing a curl, they're doing a snatch, they're doing a squat. So for someone who hasn't trained a lot before to someone who's trained every day of their life, the ability is you can work as hard as you like or as easy as you like. We'll obviously encourage everyone to work as hard as they possibly can because we want them to get results. But at the same time, if someone wants to go at their own speed, they have the ability to do so. And it's not in an environment because of the dark lights, the big music, that if I am intimidated, I can choose to be at the back of the class until I get enough courage that, yeah, okay, now I feel like I can push myself down towards the front of the class or I'll take a mate with me or whatever it may be. So we wanted to create an experience for people that wasn't intimidating, and we talked about it before. There's so many people, and we learnt this originally through the first gym, was people will walk past the gym 3 or 4 times, won't go in. Then they might go up to the front door and then they pull back again. And then they go, and then all of a sudden they go in the foyer. No one greets them, so they walk out. Then they come in maybe the 6th or 7th time and then finally someone greets them properly and then they actually, okay, now I'm going to get into this space. We, as much as this was about, it's about money, obviously, like it's got to drive that business. It was about, this is about us trying to help people in regards. So we really felt about giving back with making people feel comfortable in coming into our space. And that's a big part of what Simon's huge ethos was us getting people in and making them feel comfortable. And that starts with that customer service. You know, if I walk into a gym and no one talks to me and I'm already apprehensive about what's going to take place today, there's 9 times out of 10, I'm never going to come back again.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's not just about the training. I mean, the training's a big, big element in this. and you got to get it right. But anyone can come in and replicate that. Someone could come in and do five sessions with us and walk out and take notes, and all of a sudden they're doing exactly what we're doing. But this is about, you know, this will be successful because we're nailing every single element of the business. So from the second you walk in the door, when you're greeted by someone with a smile on their face and they say good day, and they say, is it your first time here, and they show you the ropes, you know, to using the bathrooms, to the great experience you have in the studio. You know, we went down to the level of, we've got Hugo Grusman from Flight Facilities, a really popular you know, EDM group, Sydney based, played at Coachella and played all around the world. He does our music. So it's just one more element that we're nailing to make it an amazing experience. So it's not just about the training, it's about everything you get when you walk in the door.
So that's the product, and I get it. It's about product and service. What's the financial model? So how do people pay? Do they pay monthly, yearly, weekly, daily?
Session? So, I mean, there's options. You can drop in. You can just drop in and do a class.
Yep.
And then you've got various packs that you can purchase. So you can, an introductory offer that we've got going at the moment that a lot of people are buying is you buy three classes for $75, and then you can move on to a 10-pack where there's an added benefit of getting a free session when you pay for your 10. And then beyond that, there's membership options for 3, 6 and 12 months. We're really new. We've only been open sort of 6 or 7 weeks now. So there's a journey that people go on. We're seeing that as we first opened, people are buying those 3 packs. People are now moved on to the 10 packs. And then after that, they start moving on to the membership options, because they want to understand that, you know, they want to try it out. It's a great experience, but they want to know, is this my daily fitness regime?
Yeah, is this worth
it? And it is. It absolutely is. I mean, that's a...
And what's your retention so far? Like, so are people all staying?
Retention so far is 100%. And 100%. The feedback has been absolutely phenomenal.
And how many people can you... What's your capacity? In other words, what's your limitation for one gym? For
that example? Was, I mean, look, that was a big drive. Potts Point, Victoria Street, Potts Point. We were very conscious of this. For this to work, we needed to get good numbers in the door. So we've built the class to handle 50 people, and we've been maxing out a few classes on Saturdays. The vibe is just electric in there. It's great fun. But this is a really important point. People probably hear that figure and say, oh, geez, that doesn't sound like fun training with 50 people. We built it so that if you're training and there's, Tim and I both did the session this morning. We had about 15 in there at 6:15 in the morning. And it felt amazing because the music was up, it's dark, you can't see that half the room's empty. But similarly, when there's 50 people in there, you can't see that half the room is full.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference. It's great fun either way. So to get 50 in a class versus, say, an F45 model where you're sort of putting 32 or 36 capacity max, you can see where the revenue numbers start really adding up.
So great product. By the sound of things, it's working. People like it. It looks cool. It's different to what everybody else is providing out there. Big game, and everybody's listening to this thing. They always ask me the same question. How the hell do you make people aware of this shit? I mean, like, how do you build your awareness campaign?
Yeah.
Apart from coming on my show. I mean, how do you build your awareness campaign? What are you doing in social? I mean, I do watch your stuff on social, but how's that going?
Good. Yep. So, I mean, digital is massive. I know you're passionate about it. We're very passionate about building an audience. We've had we've been through a couple of stages already in how to best promote this, and we've just brought on a digital specialist who's going to focus on that side of things, and that includes things like Facebook advertising and SEO and SEM and all that sort of stuff. Analytics. And, yeah, all of that stuff that's extremely important that we're not experts at. We know enough about it so that we can manage the process, but we needed to bring a gun on board that yep. was very good at that. But the other side of it is the organic social. So... just by default of having our three partners in the business who have all got big followings, I think between the three of them, there's over 600,000 followers that they've got, and they're promoting the hell out of the business for us because they believe in it. And we're also, we'll use influencers, but we're not paying any influencers. So this is about genuine relationships, and I think that's really important. I think gone are the days where you just throw someone $5,000 and say, put a post up for us.
Yeah, yeah,
totally. I think it's bullshit. It's got to be genuine. So we're inviting people in and building relationships with them, whether Tim and I knew them or Dan and Elise and Pap know them or various investors know them. We're sort of leveraging all the networks that we can to get people in. And we've got guys and girls with a million followers coming in and posting for us and all that sort of stuff because they love it. We're not asking them to. We haven't asked anyone to do anything for us in that regard. They're doing it because they're enjoying the workout. They're loving the space. And that's helping us.
So you're doing organic digital. Reach. So you're getting other people to, you know, put stuff up on their accounts.
Yep.
I guess there's some sharing going on too between accounts and your own stuff. You've got your own digital specialist, which I'm always saying is like critical. I presume you've got someone. I guess the digital individual, the digital person, is actually gathering data too. Because I mean, you're a data business, so you should be gathering as much data as you can about everyone you can. Because that's valuable. Once, who knows how you're going to sell that, but it's going to be valuable one day. I guess it's your business is made for, you know, Instagram, Facebook and all that sort of stuff because it's all beautiful and pretty and nice lights and happening and movement. There's music and there's shit going on. Like, it's just perfect for putting up on in terms of filming.
It is, yeah.
So but we're constantly at it.
We went a step further than that and, you know, designed walls in the place with the right lighting so that you get the best Instagram shot. So we were very conscious that if a business is Instagrammable these days, then you're halfway there. And we're finding that we've got a number of spots within the business that people are just gravitating to and getting their photo and sharing it, and it's just free promotion for the brand.
Okay, the hard question now, because you know, this can't be all about easy questions. So there's going to be a hard question, okay. So got a great business concept. It's a concept. You built your first one at Potts Point. It's going 7 weeks, going good. Everything's nice. You know, it's all happening. The next thing is, well, hang on, I don't live in Potts Point. I don't live around there. I want to go. I live in Bondi or I live in Ashfield or wherever. How do you get to those people? You got to open another one up.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, we have to open another one up and there's a DA that'll be lodged.
So where's the money come from? Because this is not cheap.
Absolutely. So we, our initial business plan that we put together when we got back from the States and we worked out how we're going to actually achieve what we're looking to achieve.
So you raise money?
Absolutely. So we sat down and we said we need to raise capital. So we raised just under $3 million. We've got 11 investors on board and those 11 investors came through all through our network. So there's not one investor that we have on board that Simon and I didn't personally know beforehand or have had something to do with throughout our lives. So we managed to con 11 blokes into it and one Sheila, which was good. I guess right now where we are, we're in a nice position that meant that we could open a number of gyms in a space of time.
But, I mean, the driver for that was that we believe so much in this space, in this premium fitness space, and that's what we are. Like, that was the gap in the market that is there's no one doing premium fitness right. We knew that there's going to be copycats on this. So if we open one and sit on our laurels and wait till it makes enough money till we can open another one, we get overtaken. Someone else will grab this and run with it.
Speed to market, yeah. So but tell me, answer the question. How are you going to get another one up? You've got to open another one up.
So DA will be lodged this afternoon for another site.
In the eastern suburbs.
Breaking news.
Yep. And that's going to be in the eastern suburbs, yeah. It's at a very iconic space. So your listeners can probably try and guess where that may be or may not be. And then off the
back, next door to me or something in Watson's Bay.
Yeah, maybe.
A big stereo.
Not that far, but look, right now where we are in the business, we actually haven't probably told you this yet. We normally have our maybe once a month.
We've got
a
big dividend coming, have we?
Yeah, mate, it's not a dividend.
Coming in 2028.
But there's a lot of opportunities that are already opening themselves up to us. We've had contact from people in India, had people contact from people in Singapore, Hong Kong, who have already seen our brand and who want us to franchise it and look for opportunities over there. Our original business model was always to keep private ownership, hence why we did the capital raise. So right now we've got some decisions to make over the next sort of month of where we actually now see the business
potential. Because it's capital hungry.
Absolutely.
Unless you franchise it, which is why everyone franchises, because they're not capital hungry.
Yeah.
The usual model is I set up the first one, it's unbelievable, everybody wants it, then I just franchise it, I don't need to raise any more capital, means that's what Deutsche's done.
It is, and I think for F45, like Deutsche's obviously a brilliant operator and they've done extremely well and they're going to continue to do extremely well.
But they made
money
out of selling franchises
They did. That's part of it. And so the issue we've got with this is that we're so proud of the brand and we're so keen on, you know, maintaining the integrity of the brand. We're hesitant to franchise it because we're concerned.
Guys, I've sent you an email.
I know. I've read it.
Be fucking careful.
No, I know.
Because like, I've seen people do this before and they don't grow fast enough.
Yep, sure.
The issue you've got to work out is, do I just pull my pants down and go mad and grow fast and I do franchise, which is what everyone else has done, and I know you don't want to do what everyone else has done, but that's a good attitude. Or do I sit back and I keep control of this?
Mm.
And it's always going to be an issue for you. I don't know the answer, by the way.
I mean, I think there are other ways to do it, though. There are other ways to get money, as you well know, and we might be knocking on your door again at some point. But we think at this stage, this is a big strategic decision for us to make, and we're not going to take it lightly.
No, totally.
Because that brand is so important, and if we get it wrong, if we get the experience wrong anywhere, it could damage all of it. Because this isn't, as I said, it's not just about the training. You can't just build a Hustle Boxing studio and expect it to knock it out of the park. I mean, you've got to nail every single element of this. And if you don't have people that are 100% committed to the brand running the show, then there's a risk of getting it wrong.
So to some extent, that's a strength and a weakness.
It is.
At the same time, of the business model.
It is,
Means you've got, which is okay, everything's got a strength and a weakness, but that means you've got to manage it. Weaknesses we've got to manage, strengths we play to our strengths, weaknesses we train to, or we manage. Jack Gibson, that's his famous saying. Play to your strengths, train to your weaknesses.
Mm.
You've got to identify your weaknesses. You can't say, I don't have a weakness, because you do. Mm. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
And the game here is you've got some big strengths, but you've got also some weaknesses. And part of it's going to be growth at the appropriate speed, or fast enough, on the proviso of what amount of capital does it require.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And that's a tricky one.
Our weakness will be lack of capital at some point, for sure.
Or growth and therefore capital, yeah.
And right now it's a really interesting analogy that I'll make around F45, and as Simon suggested and everyone has, they've done an amazing job, and we know Rob and rah, rah, but they also came into the market at a very interesting time and a time where no one had seen this space, and that's why they've done amazingly well and they've been able to sell a lot of them very quickly and get them up to speed. That opportunity isn't available anymore.
Correct.
So,
it may not be available.
No.
It's not as available.
Absolutely.
Because they've saturated the market.
Correct. So hence why we had to find a market, and we identified that market. And that market was a premium space. Now, premium space isn't being able to open 500 of Hustles in throughout Australia. You know, it might be 15, 20, it might be 30 maybe, you know. That's the difference in our model, and that's why we are hesitant to just jump into franchising and the like straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are other opportunities. There's license agreements you can do to countries. There's potentially, you know, district area license agreements that you can do. So we are certainly open to those opportunities, but we are trying to keep our sort of our head level in that what the original business plan was, because we still are very young in regards to where we are as a business.
We want to keep our options open. Our focus at the moment is making this brand, cementing the brand and making it really tasty, so that whether it's private equity, look at it in 5 years' time, or there's a second capital raise, or it's franchising. I think you can't go wrong by cementing the brand and doing the right thing. And then the options, those options, hopefully will all still
which
be there.
Which one of you two is the go a million miles now, and the other, and which one of you two is no, hang on, let's have a look at this?
Probably me a little bit more, yeah.
Wait, which one?
I'm on the gun, mate, yeah.
Yeah, and what about Simon?
My absolute passion is the brand, and so I'm probably
pulling
a little bit back.
Simon, yeah, okay. You're just hold to keep your powder dry, so type of thing.
Yeah, oh, look, I want to grow as fast as we can
Are you the overthinker?
But doing it
Are
smart.
Are you the overthinker?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
And you're maybe the underthinker.
Okay, but
I can just see you two guys getting fucked in the head, like sitting around sort of, you know, you come with a great idea, but the big trick going forward, like the key going forward is how do you blend the underthinking and the overthinking? In other words, let's have a crack and, oh, no, let's be careful. Mm. I could just sort of see the two of you changing. How do you mediate that?
We do have a way to do that.
How's that
and
done?
So it goes, well, look, Tim and I have our bust ups, and being mates for 30 years, you know, we work really well together, but we have disagreements all the time on things. We're both so passionate about this business and where it's going.
How do you
and
fix
we've
it?
Got
answer
strong
me,
opinions.
Song.
Well,
on,
the answer. Well, okay. So the answer
really
is that
nice.
We're bringing.
Fuck him. Don't worry about what he thinks.
So,
just tell me.
So the way that
you won't hurt my feelings.
No, you can't hurt his feelings. So the way that we're dealing with it is the stakeholders in the business. We brought strategic investors on board. You know, you're one of them, Mark. But we've got some guys that have got amazing experience in growing businesses like this. And we've created an advisory board for the business. And we're going to sit down with the advisory board. And we've got a meeting scheduled in the next fortnight to map out sort of the next 6 months and the next 12 months. So Tim and I, whilst we, you know, legally we can make all the decisions, we're not going to disrespect the fact that we've got some unbelievable strategic investors on board with us, and we're going to take their advice. And that, and we're going to continue to do that from now right until whatever the end date of this business is. So that's how we get, if we disagree on something, you know, generally it's a pretty big issue, and we're going to bring people on board.
What about if the advisory board says something to both of you, you both completely disagree with?
Well,
that you both would disagree with. Whatever the advisory board says to you,
okay,
do this.
Yeah, good point. I think if that happened, we're very, we back ourselves, like I said at the start.
Well, what happens?
And if, well, we can tell them to get fucked if we really want to,
really?
Because they're an advisory board.
Okay. Let's assume, for example, I'm your advisory board, because we've got to finish the podcast because we're running short of time. But what question would you ask me?
My question would be around the business, and we've sort of touched on the growth and how to do it best, but what would your preferred method, knowing what you know about Hustle? What would your preferred method of how we grow this?
I actually don't know the answer to the question, okay?
So it's a good question.
It is a good question. I don't know the answer to it. And that's probably a fair answer. I don't know. I don't know enough about what the market's doing. I'd have to sit down and ask you 50 questions, and some of which you might not even know the answer to, you would want to go and check out. But and you'd have to assess the appetite of everybody to put money in again. There may well be a third investor or a foreign investor. You might have, because I'm sure that there are people, like you mentioned, Singapore and various other places. I'm sure there are people over there, or funds over there, or venture capitalists. Mm. You know, we're all venture capitalists, but proper venture capitalists, in other words, people who do this for a living, who might be interested in slinging you like a good percentage. A good amount of money for a percentage, not the same as, you know, at a different rate that the original investors invested in. So I'm not sure if you're really at that stage yet. You probably need to get one more of these up before you can actually start to put a big value on the business. So my gut feeling is probably you should open your second one if you can.
Yep.
And just get up and running and get those two cemented in and go for it. And then perhaps then look at your options about where do we put our third one in, and where do we get the funding for a third one.
Sure.
That's sort of my feeling.
Yeah.
I'm a bit in your camp. I wouldn't go too hard, too fast. Mm. You've only been 6 or 7 weeks in terms of being open. I wouldn't worry too much about competitors. My view is you don't think about other people coming out to compete with you. If you do that, you go fucking mental.
Yeah, absolutely. We focus on our own game, yeah.
Totally. You've got to focus on your own game. And really, your game is to do, you know, okay, you want to copy me? Well, you're copying me what I did before. I'm
exactly.
now doing something
we'll
different. And Tim was talking about the evolution of your product and your service, et cetera. So I reckon you just spend what you can afford to spend at the moment, get a second one open up, and then think about, you mentioned licensing, all those things, just put it into the mix. Sit down with your advisory board and see what their view on it is. But even the advisory board, I'll be honest with you, they don't do what you do. They're not young like you. They're investors and operators, which is what you are. They'll always be thinking about their investment, ultimately. That's what they're going to be thinking about.
Rightfully so, yeah.
And they don't want to get necessarily diluted on one hand, but on the second, they might be thinking, yes, I want to put some money in, but I only want to put it in at a better value. Or if someone comes in, I want to, you know, they're going to have a different agenda to you.
Mm. I guess that's why they're an advisory board, Mark, and they were set up that way.
Yeah.
So there's no official power there. We still make all the decisions.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of the fact that they're there, you're going to be listening to them, but ultimately everyone's backing you, and you said you back yourselves, but you have to back yourselves to fail too, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
So me, I'm an older bloke. I'm much more conservative. I wouldn't do what I would have done when I was your age.
Mm.
But the reason people like us invest in people like you is because you would do what we wouldn't do. In a weird sort of way, we're sort of hoping you would take some risks that we wouldn't ordinarily take. We wouldn't admit that to you as investors, but really deep down what we're hoping is you'll take some risks and be successful because
of
it.
Of course, absolutely.
We don't want you to be unsuccessful, but if you ask us officially, we'll say don't take a risk.
Hmm. No risk, no reward.
But then if unofficially, we're hoping the fuck you would take the risk and we won't know about it. We'll wake up the next morning, you've done something brilliant.
Consider it done.
That's how it works. That's what how it works.
Yeah, great.
That's why, you know, you got the older blokes, some of the older, I only know one or two of them, but I know that's the sort of style of thinking. Guys, I'm going to have to sign off because I've got another podcast I've got to do straight away. Hustle Boxing, I declared it early. I am a shareholder, no big deal. But these two boys here, they know what they're doing. It's a great concept. I'm backing them. I back their energy. I back their youth. Well, they're not that young, but I back their relative youth. I really like their concept. I'm a big boxing fan, but I love the fact that they've taken boxing and they've democratized it, make it available to everybody. Good luck, guys.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for your time.
Cheers. Hustle Boxing. Yeah. Bring it on.
Bring it on.